Derek realizes that deep down, Meredith's still an intern. Kelly tries to forgive George, and Izzy prepares for a showdown at noon. All that and more in today's official Grey's Anatomy podcast, hosted by ABC.com. Well, last night's episode saw more than one showdown between our beloved characters. In addition to Izzy's almost brawl with Callie, Chief Weber went up against Adele when she asked him to convince their niece to undergo radical cancer treatment. Executive producers Shonda Rhimes and Betsy Beers join us now to get to the heart of those matters, plus preview the Halloween episode called Haunt You Every Day. That episode airs Thursday, October 25th at 9 p.m. on ABC and is available the next day on ABC.com.
Hi.
Hi.
Shonda.
Betsy.
Grey's Anatomy.
It's been another
lovely week
It's been fabulous here over at the fabulous Grey's Anatomy. We've had a couple of things in the past couple of weeks which have been great.
And I have to say that episode 404, which is entitled The Heart of the Matter, is probably my favorite episode of the season thus far that you have seen.
This is an amazingly both emotional and sort of seminal episode in terms of where we're going.
Well, I mean, there were several things. One, the whole idea that Callie's going to kick Izzy's ass and that Izzy actually believes that that's going to happen and that she sort of talks herself into sort of her trailer park fighter mode in the lunchroom is one of my favorite things ever. One of my other favorite things ever that I just kept pitching and they kept saying, like, really, do we have to shoot this? Like, how much do we have to shoot, like, all of George running? Was George just flying through the hospital, like, on a continuous basis looking for Izzy everywhere and crashing into things and flying across that catwalk. And it just was one of my favorite things ever. I love that.
And actually, the truth is, we did have moments where we were looking at our production schedule and people kept saying, why do we need so much running? Why do we need so much running? And Shonda was like, trust me. You need all the running because the running sets up the high noon stuff later.
It's just great. And TR was amazing at it. And
TR
really threw himself into it.
Of actually smashing
into
the crash cart.
Yeah, he came up with the idea of smashing into the crash cart, which is spectacular.
Hitting all sorts of difficult and painful things, falling down. And then if you go back and look at it, my favorite detail is he smashes into the crash cart. He picks something up, which is dropped off the cart.
That he can barely stand.
He can barely stand up.
He's going to put things back.
He leans over and he puts it back, and then he finds out where she is, and he goes charging.
Yeah. It's pretty great. We love that. And I really like that, you know, the episode starts with Callie basically saying, I forgive you to George, which is the last thing that he, or I think anyone would have expected. I think she's furious. I think she's upset. I think she's incredibly, incredibly hurt. But I think that she's a girl who took vows, and she really believes in it, and she was really trying there. And for George to sort of take that in and be like, she forgave me, so that's how it's going to be. And then to get to the point at the end of the episode where she's, you know, to get to the fight moment where she's realizing that, you know, Izzy thinks she's going to fight her and it's very humiliating.
Mm-hmm.
And that amazing speech that she gives to Izzy about the idea of, you know, you think I'm supposed to forgive you. And she calls her a traitorous bitch, which was one of my favorite lines ever. Yeah, and she delivered it like exactly the way you'd hope that a line like that is delivered, as opposed to as if we were on Dynasty. She really, it really felt real and hurt and pissed off. It was just great. And then to get to the end moment where she says to George, you know, you're right, I don't forgive you, was great. And we talked a lot in the writer's room about whether she should say, I hate you, or say more to George. And the reality of it is all she needs to say is I don't forgive you.
Well, and I think what's great is that, in a weird way, there's another aspect to this, which is she's still a little in shock. Like, she goes to a place where she says, I forgive you. And I think we've all been through situations where you want the reality to be different than it is. So you try to do the right thing, and you numb yourself, and you do it. And the process of this episode
everybody says to themselves, okay, this thing happened. We can get past this. Because what you want is for everything to go back to being the way it was.
And you think maybe if you hold your breath, it never will be.
Yeah.
It will. And the whole episode, for me, is this process where she's humiliated by Izzy, where this entire thing takes place, where it actually pushes her into the reality of actually being angry,
mm-hmm.
which she needs to be, which is incredibly healthy. But she had to go through this sort of hideous, surreal reality of this bar fight,
which was great.
Which is terrific and never took place. But it was the process that she needed, I think, to get to that place.
I mean, I love that the fight goes from being incredibly funny to incredibly sad. I think that's what made it interesting.
And also just, I like to listen to doctors talk about if you actually had to have a slugfest with something, what would you protect? Which I think is very interesting. Yes. It's with, please protect your face. No, your hands.
Protect your hands.
It's like fight with your elbows. What should you do? So,
and then, and we kind of have an obsession with that. I mean, we had a slap fight last season, so.
We had a slap fight last season. We also had a girl-on-girl slam against the locker moment.
A little bit.
Which was awesome.
A little bit, yeah.
Which I think sets up the expectation this is going to be a fight. And in fact, poor Callie was just looking to have an actual conversation.
And I love that Izzy tells Alex that she slept with George in the most casual way, because she's so past whatever happened between the two of them. And he's not. I mean, I don't necessarily know that Alex feels like he's madly in love with Izzy, but I do know that Alex feels like Izzy, if there was ever going to be a one, it would have been Izzy.
Well, and Alex, it's that whole thing, was vulnerable, allowed himself to be vulnerable, got shut down, and still hasn't recovered from that experience.
Exactly. My other favorite moment of the episode is the storyline that culminates in Derek telling Meredith that he wants to marry her, which was sort of that whole realization that she's not ready. I mean, she's not ready on so many levels, and that he understands why she's not ready, and he completely gets why she's not ready, because she's still an intern, but that he wants to marry her and have kids with her and grow old with her. That was one of my favorite moments.
Well,
because Derek is proposing.
Derek proposed. I mean, Derek proposed, but Derek also proposed knowing that something she's ready to hear.
And I love that he proposes and says, see what happens, you know, because she sort of starts to look like a little bit like a scared pony. And he sort of see what happens. It's just lovely. And I love basically what he says at the end, which is that he, while he's waiting for her, he might meet somebody who's willing to give him all those things that she's not.
And he can't guarantee.
And she says, you know, what if you do? With kind of all the confidence in the world.
I love the expression on her face, because she has that sort of flirty, everything's
but she's
gonna
also,
be okay.
Well, it's not just that. She's also a little pissed. Like, don't you dare talk about another one, which I get, because everything they've been through. And he says, I don't know, which was a very honest answer.
But I also think there's this confidence in her face.
Well, like, because they have sort of, he just basically said, I want to marry you and spend the rest of my life with you.
That would do it.
Yeah. And he says, I don't know, which, you know, I'm just telling you guys to prepare you guys for a possible eventuality of Derek really doesn't know what he would do. So, you know, you might want to think about that a little bit while you lie in bed at night.
And that Meredith still
when you're avoiding thinking about your own actual life.
Yeah, exactly. And that Meredith still got a little bit of growing to do in her own way.
Meredith still has a little bit of growing to do.
And needs a
little guys,
space to do.
We're going to get her there. We're going to get her grown up at some point.
She really is. She's just got some stuff she has to deal with.
Exactly.
And then there's that incredibly emotional storyline of
Chief's niece
coming. And the culmination and end of his relationship as a result of the fact that he actually tries to do what's right for the patient.
Yeah, and Adele, you know, having spent a lifetime trying to understand that. I mean, I love when she says, the one time I ask you to do your job to save this family. And he just can't do it. It's everything that's ever been wrong with their relationship in the first place.
But what a heartbreaking situation to be in. I mean, in terms of what a choice to be the surgeon who, in theory, could extend the life, but also have to stand there with your own niece who you love, who's like their child. They've never had a child.
Yeah.
And have to essentially agree to sign her death warrant in a strange way.
Exactly.
And also how difficult that is for a doctor.
Exactly.
Regardless. But incredibly emotional.
Very heartbreaking. And then we have Christina and Lexi, which what I loved about this is that Lexi gets a little bit cocky in this episode. Mm-hmm. She's chatting it up with Derek, and she's having fun talking to an attending, and sort of gives Christina a little bit of lip about calling her three, which I love. And Christina kind of gets her confidence a little bit shaken, or at least the confidence that she feels that doctors have in her a little bit shaken, by Derek's siding with Lexi. And then in surgery, realizing that, you know what, Lexi is, in fact, just an intern. She might seem great, she might seem smart, but she's just an intern.
Yep.
I don't know, I kind of loved that whole storyline. And in the end, you know, Christina's back to calling Lexi three.
And Lexi's back to hearing it.
Yeah, and Lexi's back to hearing it and taking it
accepting
in.
Accepting it, basically.
One of my favorite things is Edward Herman and Meredith, his oldest intern and Meredith.
You know what, I was going to bring that up just as a storyline, and the fact that you start the episode with Izzy talking about penmanship, and it's penmanship that sinks everybody, which I think it's just this little throwaway in the very beginning when Izzy's giving them a lecture because she never has anything to do with her intern.
Yes.
And then in fact that he couldn't read the chart.
Yeah, because of the wrong number written on the chart.
Exactly. That I just feel like, oh, it's, you know, a 2, not a 3 or whatever. But it's also just this whole really funny, horrible runner of how easy that would be to do.
Yeah.
You know?
And also just, you know, Meredith dealing with Norman all day, who's trying really hard to fit in now. What I loved about Norman, I mean, he's trying to say, like, oh, crap, and he's trying to say seriously.
He's wearing a t-shirt under scrubs.
Yeah, and he's trying to know if it's McSteamy or McSleazy or McDreamy. Like, he's really trying, which I found charming. And I found absolutely charming.
They actually have a really good relationship together. I think Meredith actually worked better with the core character than anybody else.
Meredith works better with...
pretty much anybody. Yeah, she works and plays pretty well.
And she plays better with others than Alex definitely does.
Oh, yeah. I guess there's no real competition there in terms of that.
But I thought there was something really charming about that whole storyline. And the woman who comes back, and she's a little bit upset to find out that she's not going to die because she's given up her whole life.
So it was kind of the revelation for her.
Yeah.
But I also like she decided to move to Reykjavik.
I know. Like, we were like, what?
It's totally arbitrary and great.
The sun never sets, you know? It was like, what?
Is it like a party all the time? Did somebody have something about Reykjavik? Exactly. That was totally awesome.
It was great. And I loved Mark's frustration with them. And the moment when he says to Derek, you know, Meredith's still an intern. The only difference between her and that old guy she's got dragging around with, she's dragging around with her, she's not sleeping with the old guy. It's very, very clean and clear.
Absolutely. That's absolutely the case. So I think this is a weird turning point in a lot of ways for a lot of the characters, which is why it feels so pivotal.
We had a little football story, which is our tiny little shout out to a show on another network called Friday Night Lights,
which
we're all a little obsessed with.
We're kind of
a little football in for.
I think it's pretty awesome, and
that has Guy, you know, who you might remember is blowing up on our show. But we did sort of our little homage to football, since none of us know anything about football except for what we see on that show. So
I hear there's a football involved.
Yes.
That's pretty much it.
Exactly.
And they wear outfits, I think, with hats.
I don't think you're supposed to call them outfits. Or hats.
Okay, I rest my case.
Outfits with hats sound like a little suit and a flowered straw.
Doesn't it?
You know,
doesn't it? See, and to me, every team is like the napkins and the toaster ovens.
They do wear sweet little outfits.
They do.
Lots
they're adorable.
Of nice accessories.
They look nice. They look nice
as well.
They all match.
Put a little makeup on under their eyes.
They all match. Yeah. Which is nice. They all walk together as a
and
pack.
Their hats are quite kicky.
It's absolutely great. This is why, interestingly enough, we never developed a sports show, clearly, I think.
This is clearly why they chose to put us on after the Super Bowl
off,
that year.
Exactly. We'd be ridden off the network on a very large rail. Hats. Sorry. That's right now. They're men all over America throwing car radios out the window.
We
and
love
car radios
football
are actually attached
and,
to their car.
And think it's great.
It's actually awesome. And I have many, many friends who love football.
Dig it a hole. All I wanted to say was that we thought Kyle Chandler was cute.
Hold
That's
on,
really
just,
all I wanted
just
to say.
I'm just pouring some dirt on top of us now. Okay, that worked out pretty
that
good.
That was good.
That was really good.
So that was episode 404, The Heart of the Matter.
That's
really
good.
Great episode.
Awesome.
Our next episode, for the first time ever, Grey's is doing a Halloween episode.
Yes, you know, you've seen Thanksgiving episodes and Christmas episodes.
Yeah.
But you've never actually seen a Halloween episode.
We decided to go, if we were going to go for a holiday this year, we thought we'd go for Halloween. There's something kind of great about it, and we felt like gore and
by the way,
and blood went quite well with our hospital, and
absolutely.
So we're doing some stuff on this episode that's going to be a little bit interesting.
It's very interesting, and Halloween does bring out the spooky weird stuff, I think, probably in hospitals and probably
superstition wise and behavior wise.
And I think you'll get to see some. You'll definitely see something I don't think you've ever quite seen on network television.
Yeah.
I think there's something relatively hardcore in there.
Meredith does something that I don't think I've ever really seen anybody do.
That's absolutely true. Yeah. And there's also, I think there are two things.
Oh, yeah.
There are actually
two
things. I think there's...
There's a chainsaw involved in this
there
episode.
There is a chainsaw involved in the episode, and that doesn't involve Meredith.
Meredith doesn't wield a chainsaw.
I just want to make sure that we know she's dark and twisty, but not chainsaw dark and twisty. Which would qualify as a little different.
That's a whole different show.
That would be
show.
A whole different show.
Yeah, it's a whole different show.
That would maybe be our bad football show.
Okay. So anyway, right. And nobody's going to be wearing cute outfits with hats. Although I think scrubs and scrub caps do go. And, you know, Lexi
a little bit in that one.
Yeah.
That's actually the case.
You know what? I take that back. Cute outfits and hats.
There's,
keep watching.
Actually, yeah, there's a whole reason to tune in right there.
This is Shonda.
This is Betsy.
Grey's Anatomy.
Thanks for listening. That's it for this week. Join us again next time for more from the writers. And as always, for more Grey's content or to rewatch last night's episode, go to abc.com. Remember, Thursdays are ugly and gray on ABC. Ugly Betty at 8, Grey's Anatomy at 9. Haunt You Every Day airs Thursday, October 25th from 9 to 10 p.m. only on ABC.